So we prayed together this morning in the back room, and I heard of people being, young men and women being saved in the various programs you have going on. As I watched the team here, realized you have another team in Portugal, I thought to myself, I'm not here really to talk with you about anything new this morning, but what I'm here to do is to encourage you and hopefully to provide some instruction from God's Word in terms of what you are already doing. And that is indeed contending for the faith. We all love one-liners, don't we? You know, there are lines that just stick with you. And some of them come from literature, and some of them come from the media today, and they come from all sorts of places. But once you've heard them, they just kind of hang in there, though you may well have forgotten why they were there after a while. But for instance, if you go back to literature, Charles Dickens, for instance, it was the best of times. It was the... See, they stay with you, don't they? Or go to media, and a terrible illustration, but hasta la vista. Yeah, you know, it just, they hang there, don't they? And they stick there. Go ahead, make my day. Yeah, you got it, and you're making my day. Well, in a certain sense, that's what I want to talk with you about this morning, from this little postcard called Jude. We call it a book in the Bible. It's hardly a book. It's more like a note written. It's like Jude was sitting in a motel room somewhere and thinking about the church of his day, and he thought, you know, I'm going to drop him a postcard. And it's just that the postcard is filled with all sorts of incredible things that are so relevant to who we are today. I had thought that my secretary had sent a PowerPoint along so that I could use PowerPoint this morning. I've become crippled without it. In fact, this morning I am going to be... Oh, there it is. I thought I was going to be PowerPointless this morning, and now we're okay. Well, let's move to the next slide. For I want you to look a little bit with me, if you would, just at the front end of Jude that Gary already read for us. By the way, my partner in this journey of 36 years, Alice, is here somewhere. Alice, where are you? Hello? Oh, okay. She's the best half of this deal, so you want to be sure and say hello to her this morning for sure. Jude writes, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. I love what he doesn't write there, because he could have wrote, I'm also the half-brother of Jesus. Pay attention to me. Doesn't seem like it was a name dropper, does it? They really understood, in fact, who he was in this whole process. There's a wonderful humility in those opening lines. So he writes further, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our Lord, our God, into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I lived in Big Bear Lake for a number of years. Tough duty, but someone had to be there to do it. And there was a very famous person who lived in Big Bear Lake. If you know boxing, you know this person. His name was Oscar De La Hoya. And Oscar was kind of the local celebrity. Now, it was a love-hate deal. If you were ever on the road in Big Bear Lake when Oscar was out training, then it was instant traffic jam. Because literally hundreds of people would follow him around town as he did his running and all that goes with that. The thing that I enjoyed was meeting the people who hung around Oscar's training camp because they were unique, to say the least. And one morning I was in the coffee shop, and I recognized some of these guys, and there were a couple of trainers in there, and Oscar's camp trained lots of fighters. So there were a lot of young guys training up there on the mountain with Oscar. And these two guys were talking about this fight that this young guy had the night before, and you've got to get the picture. They're from New York, for sure. And they've been hit way too many times. So it's kind of like... Yeah, man, that was a great fight last night. Never had that feel to it. So finally, I butted in because I recognized him. We drank coffee every morning in the same place. And I said, you know what? I know this kid. They said, no, you wouldn't know this kid. He's just a young guy. He's not known by anybody. And I said, well, did he fight anybody that I would know? He said, no, he didn't fight no one. He just fought a nobody. And I said, oh, let me think about this. Okay, this kid wanted to fight, but he fought a nobody. Yeah, that's right. He fought a nobody. I said, what's the deal? He said, well, this kid's going to be a contender. He's going to be a contender, and because he's going to be a contender, we don't let him fight real fighters. I said, oh, what does he fight? Well, he fights tomato cans. I said, well, what's a tomato can? He said, well, a tomato can is a guy who thinks he's a fighter. But the only reason he exists is so that real fighters can beat up on him. I said, I don't think I want to be a tomato can. And then I thought to myself, you know, in the kingdom, there isn't any room for tomato cans. That indeed, what Jude says here in his little postcard is that I'm writing you, and I'm writing you initially to talk to you about the things that we hold in common. The things that we believe together. But as I thought about those things, rather I found that it was a necessity to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith. The word there that's translated contend earnestly is a word that has as its heart agonize. It's the notion of Jude saying, I want you to agonize for the faith. I want you to understand that contending is a big deal. We go to the next slide on this. In fact, as we open this, we find real quickly that Jude captures one of the essences of contending by first talking about who we are in the Lord. And in fact, contenders build their lives on a clear view of who they are in the Lord. And without going into it deeply, because it's so essential, contending is so challenging. When your team goes to Columbia, that team is going to be challenged right to their core. It's like at Western. When I talked with them when we came there together and began to build a team there together, I said, you know, you got a one-note violin here. And my one note is, we're going to produce people who contend for the faith. And the minute you do that, you better put a disclaimer all around it. Because when you take that seriously, pardon the terminology, all hell is going to break loose. And Jude knew when he wrote this book that the church was beginning to slide into not contending for the faith. They were beginning to become careless. Read the first few chapters of Revelation that identify seven churches, biggies, that existed in that time. And not one of them is doing well. They have fallen prey to loving other things besides the things of the Lord. They've fallen prey to thinking they don't have enough resources. They've let false teachers come in their midst. They've welcomed all sorts of heresies. They've just become mediocre. The church at Laodicea looked just being lukewarm. That was the church that Jude looked at and said, well, I was going to write about these things we held in common, but instead I feel a necessity. Why a necessity? Because that's the condition. A necessity to write to you to contend for the faith. Those contenders, when they take that on, it's crucial that they know who they are in the Lord, and they are these things. They are called. It's no accident that you are in the Lord's family. If you were in the Lord's family this morning, you were there because He called you. You are there indeed because, even as we are going to celebrate later, because the Lord contended for you. When we celebrate this table, we celebrate Christ's death until He comes. And that death was given so that we could be in His family. He contended for us. And listen carefully, praise God, He won. Our Lord is no tomato can. We need to know that we are not only called, but we are also loved. Do you think there's a chance that your team in Colombia are going to feel at times unloved? Do you think there's a chance that if you serve the Lord in this neighborhood in Portland, Oregon, that there are going to be people who are going to treat you in other than loving ways? Do you think there's a chance that in the culture that we live in today, that if we stand up for Christ, not in contentious ways — contending isn't about being contentious, contending is about living out the reality of Christ. Contending is about proclaiming the Word. The Word doesn't need our defense. As Spurgeon said, you know, think of the Word like a lion. Whoever defended a lion? You just turn the lion loose and let him defend himself. We don't have to be contentious. But when we stand for those things, what happens? Do we get loved? Not always. And so as a contender, we have to go back and realize that this God who calls us beloved in Jesus. He loves us. I tell this to our students all the time, you know. Joe, when you go out to that little place in Eastern Oregon and take up that pastorate where you're the lone person in that church, don't think that everybody there is going to love you. If you proclaim faithfully the Word and proclaim the gospel in that community, you're going to find people who don't love you. I remember one of our alumni saying to me just a couple of weeks ago, and he pastors a little church out in Central Oregon. He said, I was standing outside our youth center. Their youth center is right next to the local tavern. It was late at night. He'd walked out. It was dark. As he walked out, two guys walked out of the tavern with, you know, at the same time. They don't see him there. They're talking. And the one guy says, you know what I hate about this town? And the other guy says, no, what do you hate about this town? He says, you can't do anything in this town without getting permission of the Baptist church. To which my alumnus said, praise God. That means that we're contending for the faith in this town. But you've got to know your love. And lastly, you have to know that you are kept. That as a contender, no matter how tense it gets, the Lord Jesus Christ, who called you and who loves you, is keeping you. I had to say that this week. We're involved in a 3-year lawsuit over a disciplinary issue at the school. It relates to a moral issue. Something that wouldn't be unlike that could happen in a church. And it has become more and more difficult and more personal and more hostile. And there are days when you just want to say, Lord, what are you up to? And then you come back and say, you know, we're kept. Lord, you're keeping us. I don't know all that's going on, but you're holding us. It's like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, where he runs through that incredible list in chapter 1 of things that God does for us when He adopts us and blesses us and chooses us and delivers us and enriches us and forgives us. And one day He's going to gather us all into a great family. And until that day, Paul says, He's going to hold you. He has put His emblem on you. And nobody's going to take you away from Him. He's keeping you. So that when you contend for the faith, you can contend knowing these truths. What's the great obstacle? What's the thing that worries Jude? It's this. That the church of his time was not experiencing continuous growth in the Lord. The church in his time had fallen away from becoming mature. They had lots of years in the Lord, but they weren't growing up. And that's why he writes to him saying, I need to talk to you about this necessity. I need to talk with you about contending for the faith, because if you don't grow up, then you don't contend. Remember my boxer friend? Why did they have him fight nobodies? Because he needed to learn a bunch of things before he really stepped in with the people who were true fighters, right? He needed to grow up. And that's what Jude is worried about, is the church isn't growing up. Read the book of Hebrews and you'll discover it. They're not growing up. They're not attending to the Word. They're not being obedient. They're not practicing what they know about the faith. In fact, they're willfully involved in sin and they won't be corrected. You just got the book of Hebrews in 30 seconds. And that's the state of affairs. And so continuous growth becomes the key, and one of the dangers becomes the danger of pretending. There it is. I'm not going to go down this road very far because I have about 11 minutes to to get this thing all together. Once you get the airplane up, you've got to get it down, right? But what Jude is worried about in this continuous growth thing is that people are also being impacted by those who would pretend. That is, there are unreal, there are fake apostles, there are teachers that have come into the midst. It's like Jesus' warning. Remember when he warned the church, beware the leaven of the Pharisees? And the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. A theatrical word that means to wear a mask. To pretend. And what Jude is saying is the great danger to contending, listen carefully, the great danger to contending is pretending. If I want to wear a mask. And so Jude is saying, let's pay attention. I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. You need to agonize for the faith. To do that, you need to understand who you are, called, loved, and kept. You need to pay attention to your continuous growth in the Lord. And you need to watch out for the temptation to pretend. I won't ask you to raise hands, but I'll bet all of us at times have had the temptation to fake it. If I could only just put on this mask and play. When I came back to Western as the president, you know, that word carries with it all sorts of layers of paint that people want to paint on you. The president needs to be this. The president needs to be that. The president needs to do these things. The president can't do those things. And for at least 3 years of my life in the presidency at Western Seminary, I tried to wear all of those masks. Until one day I realized, I'm pretending. I'm not contending. I'm trying to be the very things that God didn't call me here to be. God called me here to be the person I am. Let's strip off the masks. Let's contend for the faith. And in my case, I'm there clearly for a season and clearly for a reason. And the more I wear masks, the less that's true. And so every day I ask the Lord, Lord, help me and my team. Help us not to ever fall prey to faking it. It's a powerful little postcard, isn't it? How did he put so much in a postcard? And about the best I can do with a postcard is, you know, wish you were here. In a way, that's what Jude is doing, isn't he? He's saying, I wish you were here. Well, how does that work its way out? What does a contending lifestyle look like? Let me make just a couple of applications in the few minutes we have. Let's pull over to the next slide on this one. And in your scriptures, I'd like you to jump to verse 20 if you're looking at your Bibles. Because Jude gives us a look at the things we need to consider in developing a contending lifestyle. Verse 20 we read, but you, beloved, there's that word again, don't you love it? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh. If we can go to the next slide, let me see if I can summarize this lifestyle very quickly. I know you are students and you are well taught here, so you can flesh some of this out along the way. But let me give you the big picture of where he drives the theme of this postcard. Remember, you're called, you're loved, you're kept. Earnestly contend for the faith. Be careful of pretending and be careful of pretenders. Then he spends a lot of time talking about pretenders. We're not going to go there. Then he gets us to, here's what this contending lifestyle looks like. Here are the keys to contending. Let me look at your scripture. If you've got your scriptures in your hand, let me look at just a passage with you real quickly. That's there. I've got to get my glasses to even see what page I'm on here. Don't we hate getting to the day when we absolutely need these? Dave Barry says, you know, you can tell when you're getting older. Any of you read Dave Barry? There are a few perverted souls in here. Says, you can tell you're getting older when you have to put in your hearing aids and your false teeth to ask someone where you put your glasses. I'm beginning to understand that one. In verse 20 it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." If you want to underline a little word phrase in your scripture, as a one-liner, if you will, right where we started, here's the one-liner from Jude. You want to be a contender? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves right in the heart of what God is all about. Now, you're good students, so I know right away at least half of you have asked the how question. How does that happen? How do you do that? Well, let me give that to you in just a few seconds of coverage here. You're going to have to write quick. Here's how it is. He first says you need to be rooted. Let's go to the next one. Building one another in the faith. That is that we take the responsibility to help each other grow in the faith. We spend time together in the Word. We counsel one another. We coach one another. It's a together thing. You're never a contender trying to do it alone. You hear me? It's not an alone deal. You're never a contender trying to do it alone. Secondly, he says, you need to be praying in the Spirit. This is not something mystical. This is literally paying attention to where the heart of God is, where the Spirit of God's heart is, and praying in light of that. It's amazing how when I think about what's important to God, how it changes my prayer life. And Jude is saying that's what we need to do, is shift our prayer life. Oh, sure, the things we pray for, our daily bread, that's important stuff. But when we shift our prayer life over to honestly and sincerely ask, what's important to the heart of God? What's the Spirit of God teaching us through the Word of God about what's really crucial? And we make that the heart of our prayer life, it changes how we contend. And then thirdly, he says, if you're going to be rooted, that is anchored in the love of God, you need to be anxiously awaiting the Lord's return. That is, that looking out to the reality that Christ is returning is critical to how I deal with contending. This is a homely illustration, but when I was a kid, I grew up in farm country, so I worked on farms all summer. And we, baled hay and bucked hay, we called it, you know. And I tell you the truth, the teams that I worked with, me included, never worked harder than when we knew the boss was coming. The boss is coming. And that's what Jude wants us to remember, is that we need to keep one eye on our work and one eye toward the heavens because Jesus is returning. We need to be anxiously awaiting. How do we stay rooted right in the middle of the love of God? By building one another in the faith, by praying in the Spirit, by anxiously awaiting the Lord's return. Then he says we need to be reaching. With no apologies now, you're just going to have to put on your track shoes and finish this with me. Okay? He says we need to reach to those with doubts. You can read the next passage. You'll find it there. He says, reach out to some who have doubts. That's reaching. That's taking my rootedness and making it work and contending for the faith. Sometimes those doubts are in people around us right here. Sometimes those doubts are in people out there. But when we encounter those doubts, what a great opportunity. He says we need to be reaching out to those who are in need of salvation. That is, there are those on the very precipice of hell. And when we engage those people, our role is to contend for the faith, to contend for that very life, even as Christ contended for our life. To contend by living out Christ, to contend by speaking His love, to contend by being rooted at the heart of God's love in our lives. And when we are that, we make a difference. And then he says, we even need to reach out to those who by their very lives make us fearful. I heard that this morning when your Columbia team spoke. They are going into an area of great need, and frankly, they are going into circumstances that will be fearful. That's contending. And lastly, on the last slide here, we need to be real. We already talked about that. Beware the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Guard yourself from pretenders. And guard yourself from pretending. It's a handful, isn't it? What a postcard. Know who you are. Called, loved, kept. Be careful of falling off of that constant growth in the Lord. Because when we're not growing in the Lord, we're not contending for the faith. Watch out for people who would take you off that incline. Watch out for people in their pretending who would lead you astray. How do we do that? We do it by staying rooted in the heart of God's love, building one another in the faith, praying in the Spirit, watching for the return of the Lord. We do it by understanding that we need to reach together, even as was spoken of and prayed of this morning through your Bible clubs and other things. And there are thousands of ways to reach those with doubts, to reach those desperately in need of salvation, to reach those who are frankly even scary. And in all that process, to resist that temptation that Satan will surely bring through others and even just through our own thinking to fake it. Say, you know, boy, if I just fake this, it'll work. That's a handful, isn't it? As we go to the table this morning, which we are at this minute, we need to go there with this in mind. Realizing that what we are celebrating this morning in the death of Jesus Christ and the remembrance of it here is that we're remembering one who contended for us. And then who sent us into the world. He says, as you've sent me into the world, Father, so send I them. I'm sending them to contend for the truth of who you are, Father, of who I am, and of who they are in us. And it's by this that people will know the reality of God the Father and Jesus Christ, the one He sent for our salvation. Let's pray together. And as we pray, and as Gary comes to lead us in the communion time, I would just like to make this personal. We go to the next. I'd like to personalize it this way. If you feel so led to simply ask the Lord, Lord, maybe you're not being rooted. Maybe you're not spending time in the Word. And you need to say, Lord, today, bring me back to your Word. Bring me back to rootedness. Bring me back to being built in the faith. Bring me back to praying in the Spirit. Bring me back to realizing you're going to come again. If that's where you need to pray, pray there. Personalize it. Maybe you're rooted, but you're not reaching. Roots are no good. They're only good for the reach. You know, if you have lots of roots and you're not reaching, it's pointless. Maybe you need to say, Lord, help me to know how to reach. Help me to listen so I hear the opportunities. Or maybe Satan has just led you to kind of play the game. And the Lord this morning is saying to you, you know, it's time to be really who I called you to be. I'm not going to presume where that might be, but as we pray this morning and come to this table, I would ask you, not from my heart, but from the heart of God, to consider His Word and how He may ask you to respond. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these men and women. Thank you for the testimonies that have existed here that are testimonies of reaching. And I know that reaching only happens when people are rooted in you, dead center in the love of God. I just pray today, Lord, that if there are people here who need to get back to that center, that you would, by your Spirit and by the work of this community of believers, bring them there. For those who need that, I pray you would lead them this morning even to ask you for that. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies of reaching here into the lives of children and young people, into the lives of people in other countries. And I just pray that you would continue to make Henson a reaching place. Lord God, to answer doubts, to be part of your great saving plan. to reach even into those places that would be fearful, but where You would ask us to go. Lord God, if there are people here this morning that You've been speaking of in terms of their reach, I pray that, Lord, this morning You would lead us in that regard to ask You for Your favor and Your strength to reach. And Father, if we've been tempted to, by teaching or by our own thinking or whatever, to kind of move away from really what You're making us into, I pray today that You would lead us back to that reality. That we would know the truth that You, through Your Spirit, are changing us from glory to glory into the image of Your Son, Jesus. Oh God, make it real. Lord, we pray all of this, and we pray it confidently because we know, Lord God, as contenders, we are called, and we are loved, and we are kept. And we pray these things in the name of the One who does all of that for us, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.